Hello, and thanks for joining me on another episode of Leadership Bits, where every bit counts. I'm your host, Aviv Ben-Yosef, Tech Executive Consultant, and today we're going to talk about something very near and dear to my heart, and that's autonomy. Right? I often talk about autonomy because autonomy is something that I believe it's one of the three tenets of having a good R&D organization. We'll talk about the two others later, but right now I want to focus specifically about autonomy. Now, what do I mean when I say autonomy? You'll have to excuse me for being a nerd for the next 2 minutes, but the best example I know for autonomy and the lack of it comes from Tolkien's world, right? Tolkien, the guy who wrote Lord of the Rings, in his Silmarillion, which is basically the Bible of the creation of his world, we get to glimpse how the dwarves were created. And they weren't created by the one true God there, but by one of the angels, all right? Bear with me, we're almost done. And when that angel created the dwarves, they were amazing in their craft. They could do beautiful things, work metal, whatever, yet they only were able to do it when that angel was giving them his thought and attention and focus. Whenever the angel went off to do something else, those dwarves stopped in their tracks, all right? And it remained the same way until the god decided to make them real beings or whatever, all right? Wrapping up the story, we're back from the nerd world. This is exactly how lack of autonomy looks in a real organization. Things only happen when the leaders are pushing the organization forward. And that's not something that's viable, and that's not something that you can keep on doing for too long. I've seen it a lot in my clients, and this usually ends up with frustrated employees and burned out managers and leaders. You don't want that, right? Autonomy means that things actually move forward. And to make it easier for all of us to understand where you are standing, let's start with a few tests to assess whether you already have autonomy in your organization, all right? How does autonomy look like? How does it feel like? First of all, people come up with initiatives. Imagine that basically you do not need to specify every single thing that you want to happen. People actually come up to you with ideas. And it doesn't have to be groundbreaking ideas. It just has to be action from there, unasked for. For example, people coming up and saying, we really should investigate this technology. I think it can make a big difference. Or someone creating a new Slack channel and inviting people to it to discuss how you're going to handle your scaling efforts, or people demanding a hackathon to improve your monitoring, or people actually spending time to improve the SLAs or whatever. What this actually means is that people are active and do not need you to shove your hand up a puppet to make them work, all right? They actually do active stuff and not just what they have on their Jira assigned to them, all right? They initiate. Second is that your managers are not backlog nannies, all right? They do not have to chew on every single task to make sure that it's doable, operatable, have a very, very short time estimation for it, all right? When you have that, it means that your managers are basically nannies for your team, and they have to chew on every single task to allow the team to take it on and swallow. That doesn't induce autonomy. That induces kindergarten. You want people to have to think and specify what they need to do. Your tasks don't have to be so bite-sized that no one can get lost. You want tasks that allow the people to make decisions in order to make sure that they reach your goal in a good way. A good example of this, if you're looking for something to read, is the Basecamp new book, Shape Up, which I think is amazing about their approach to cutting up work, all right? You have to read it, and it's a very short read. Next, also managers, they should not be gateways. What do I mean? If a developer wanting to get feedback about something from product, for example, has to go through their manager, and the manager then goes along and talks to product, and then goes back to the developer and tells them what to do, This is not the process that makes best use of anyone's time. And again, this means that the developers are lacking autonomy. You don't trust them enough to actually go there and talk to product and get to a reasonable decision together. You actually have to have your manager sitting between them. This doesn't scale. This wastes everyone's time. And again, you won't have real senior people if that's the way their managers are going to work. I talk a lot about seniority, and I think that I talked in the podcast, and if not, I have a bunch of blog posts about this Peter Pan thing, when you have employees that never stop being juniors. I can assure you that a big part of it is having these managers that are basically micromanaging too many things, and I'm absolutely certain that it's never done with bad intent. It's done only in order to help things work faster and whatever. But the issue is that that's not the way you allow people personal growth. And if people are not growing, they're going to remain Peter Pans. And you don't want that, all right? Unless they can actually fly, which can be interesting. Next is, how do you feel regarding the ownership people are showing you? It's another aspect of this taking initiative. Ownership means that people actually care about their own little parts of the business, and they make sure that those parts are up to par and improving, all right? There's no, Dave was the last one to work on it, ask Dave, whatever. I don't want that. I want people to care deeply about everything, and you should not have any real aspect of your business and your tech that doesn't have any owner right now, because if you're lacking an owner, it means that you're going to have a bad time quite soon. Lastly, another example, when you lack ownership, you have a bunch of yes men. You have developers, engineers, whatever, that get a task and do not say, hey, did you realize that this little widget you're asking for actually means 2 weeks of work? Is this valuable enough to be worth it? And these people usually just, you know, you get radio silence, they go and waste, I don't know, a week or whatever, and whenever they come up for air, you realize that they're lost and they haven't done what is most valuable for the team because they didn't say anything. They just assumed that whatever orders they got, they should deliver, all right? You're getting soldiers and not real thinking developers. Now, if you were answering too many yeses here and you realize that you do not have an autonomous organization, what can you do? What's the right approach here? How can you try and tackle it? Well, I'll have to say that it's not a, you know, I don't have a chart here that you can say, yeah, let's take this, this, and that, and you're done, right? This is a big process. But what you should start with, and with every change in an organization, this is something that will take a while, you want to set the right baselines to make sure that your organization will grow with time. It's not going to happen overnight, I can assure you that. And yet, if you do it properly, you will end up seeing how your new employees, especially those who come up and join the organization after you started setting the guidelines, will very quickly become more autonomous and help the whole organization become more autonomous. What does it mean? First of all, you as the leader, as the R&D leader, CTOs, VPs, whatever, you need to set goals, not implementation. And this should be the modus operandi of you and your managers and team leads and whatever. You should refrain from having to actually set the implementation of things unless you absolutely have to. Because if you set implementation, people see it and realize they do not have any decisions to make here. They just need to implement. They just need to execute. That's not what you want. What you want is to set the goal. Say, what we want to achieve with this sprint or whatever is X, and let them decide how to do it best, right? Even if you're an amazing technical person, I doubt that you're smarter than the whole rest of your organization, right? And to enable this autonomy, you have to have clear boundaries what you're allowing them to do, all right? You can't say, all right, your autonomy is given and run along, and then somehow the next day you realize that some developer decided that you should have a different domain or change the name of the business or whatever, right? They can't do everything they want. There need to be boundaries. You need to tell them what they can do. What are the things that they should be speaking up to you about and getting permission, all right? This is usually boils down to some sort of core values. And if people know that they're doing what the core values allow and they're aligned, it's great. And if there's some sort of issue here, they can raise it up. Another way to look at this, in the army, we have this commander's intent. You when you are in charge of a big platoon, you can't tell each and every soldier what to do, right? What you want to do is have your intent. They know what you want to happen. We reduce collateral damage, we don't hurt citizens, this mission has to be in stealth, whatever. You know what's the intent, and then you can make your decision as a soldier based on what you know your ground rules are. Another aspect to look at this is to make sure that you stop providing your teams with solutions, all right? I'm sure that as with every leader and manager, you often get people to come up to you with problems, and that's your job, all right? Yet our instinct, especially at smaller companies, is to bring up the solutions. You hear a problem, you want to solve it, you say, all right, here's what you do. You do this, this, and that, bye-bye. And you feel like, all right, I did my share today. I actually have my team. But no, what you actually need is micromanage them another day. What you want to do is to make sure that instead of always giving them the chewed answer, you want to sit down, think about what they're actually asking you, and provide them with guidelines that they can then use again if they have a similar issue. It's not that when they come up and say, in our API, should we allow people to do this and that? Instead of telling them, yeah, return 200 results or sell limit of 300 results today, what you want to make sure is that you tell them, for example, our main objective is to make sure that we never fail because of a customer issue, and that's why our APIs should have the defenses and let them decide what the limit should be. They know what the servers can do and what the algorithms can handle or not, for example. And by providing these guidelines each and every time, and actually if you're up to it, I would really, really recommend writing those down, because you want to make sure that they're visible and that you can see what's the last thing that you actually provided. And once you have these, slowly but surely, what you will have is that you will not have to answer these, you know, day-to-day questions all the time, because your team will know what to do. That's the meaning of autonomy. And if you have this list, which is something when I'm coaching someone, I actively try and see what are the common issues that they're doing, and seeing what's the helping them come up with the right solutions in general with these guidelines, so that they don't have to waste their time, energy, and cognitive load on this. And the important thing is that once you do this, you should make sure that you mentor and coach your managers, either yourself or with someone else. Coach them to make sure that your managers do the same. If your managers stop coming up to you with questions, but whenever their developers, engineers, whatever, come up to them with questions, they provide them with the solutions instead of guidelines by themselves, you won't get the full solution here, all right, in your organization. What you want to make sure is that everyone are focused on providing the level below them with the autonomy to decide and do what they feel is best. Another aspect for you to consider is to make sure your managers are enablers, all right, not nannies. So they should not see their day-to-day task as having to decide what each and every person is going to do, how much time it's going to take, and whatever. What your managers should be focusing on is enabling them. For example, if you need to make sure that some business thing happen, if they need some more support to talk to product, if they need, I don't know what. The important thing is to make sure that your managers don't see their responsibility as being those who decide, push, and do everything. What they should be doing is making sure that no one is stuck, and if someone is stuck, going in there and helping them. And they should be focusing on making your people better, providing them with feedback, and that sort of thing. They should be helping your team grow instead of actually planting each and every seed. And lastly, all of this can happen without the right organization structure. What do I mean? There's this thing right now that people are talking a lot about, squads and whatever, which are cross-functional team, and I think these are exactly what you should be aiming for. One of the prior examples I gave are of a manager that has to bridge the gap between a developer and someone from product. But if these two people are inside the same team and they are teammates and they have this one, you know, the squad's goal in mind, you can rest assured that they can talk and are more likely to talk with each other and solve whatever needs to be solved as fast as possible. So you should consider changing up your structure to allow this. Right? Another example is that you want to make sure that each team is capable of doing its task end to end without having to talk to some different team, without having to get someone else's approval, etc., etc. I'm sure that if that's not the way you're currently doing things, it sounds like a big thing and scary, but it's doable. And if you have the mindset for growth and autonomy, this is basically the only way to do it nowadays. It allows the team to grow in a linear manner so that whenever you have more responsibilities, you do not have more and more backend people with the backend, group being in charge of 100 microservices. What you do end up having is a bunch of task forces, and each of these task forces being focused on what they see as the most important thing for their task. And those people can then make sure that they manage everything under that umbrella, right? It's not groundbreaking. People have been doing it for a while. I trust that you can see how much this will allow you to run forward. To recap what we've talked about so far, autonomy is what makes your people not just boring dwarves and allows them to run. And once you get this autonomy, the other side of the coin is that you as a leader and your managers end up with all this free time because you don't have to run along and push the bits here and there. What you can now focus on is long term. You can, as the leader, think about vision and where you want to lead the company, and your managers can focus on growth, helping the people grow, spending more time on hiring, whatever. They don't have to spend all of their time in just making sure that there's forward momentum. Because with autonomy, the organization itself is pushing itself forward, and you now just have to spend your time and energy on making sure that the forward here is the right direction to be going, and you can push it along if you need to, instead of having to be in the back and pushing every day. All right, that's autonomy. Stay tuned to hear more about the other aspects of a good R&D organization. If you have any comments, replies, whatever, I'd really love to hear. You can find my email in the show notes. And if you have a second, please open up iTunes and submit a review. It takes a minute and it really helps. Thanks for joining me. I hope you had a good time. If you found this insightful, please share. Talk to you soon.